Here's what happened this morning with Stacey and Clayton.
Big news yesterday, Premier Scott Moe giving us a little bit of information at yesterday's provincial COVID update. Obviously, they give the case numbers and stuff like that. But then he dangled a bit of a carrot.
Teased us.
He said for us to hang tight for a few more days and that we might be able to possibly relax some regulations next week.
Now, I don't really want to focus on the regulations and restrictions and all that stuff because, again, the hanging carrot tease here. Mm-hmm. What if it doesn't happen? We're jumping to conclusions. We're just going to be sad and upset at the end of the day. I do want to focus on the middle of that sentence, though. Hang tight for a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's definition of few is different.
It really is.
It's so different. To some people, a few days is like 8 or 9. To some people, a few days is literally 2, no more, no less. So that's the thing I don't like about this. A few more days. Just that broad statement. Could be 2, could be 80.
Are we talking work days or business days?
Right? There's so many ways where you can kind of backtrack the few days kind of thing.
Because for me, a few is 3.
See, for me, a few is anything single digits. If it's double digits, it can't count as few anymore. I think of 2 or 3 as a couple. A couple is a 2 or 3. A few is anything like 2 to 9.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, well, I'll get to the bottom of this. Yeah. And I Googled the definition of few, consisting of or amounting to only a small number. So it's all relative.
What's a small number, though? Context, right? Like, if you're talking about, like, the billions and billions, technically 478 is a small number.
Right.
And I think that's where some people, they start to get those high expectations when they hear those words. A few, a couple. Well, that's not long at all.
Well, then that should mean, like, okay, because what are we, Wednesday? Mm-hmm. He announced this yesterday. We should know by Friday.
We should, right?
I think so.
Is that going to happen?
He said probably Monday of next week.
See, there's another word right there. Probably. Probably. You said a few more days. It's been like 13. Well, that's what I think a few is.
About around.
And probably. I mean, I said probably, so, you know. Probably in a few. We just need to get rid of those words. I'm one of those guys who every fourth sentence out of their mouth is like a movie reference or a movie quote.
Or a Simpsons quote.
Something like that. We all have that one friend, and I am that friend. I'll always use that no, yes, from Night at the Roxbury.
Okay.
And I expect people to get it, even though like 37 people saw that movie.
I think it's more than that.
On Cruz's Facebook page, we had like my dream topic yesterday.
Yeah.
Dave posted this. Random line from a movie that fans of it instantly know. So we have 384 comments on this thread on Cruz's Facebook page right now.
Nice.
Scroll through and see if you can identify them. We're going to do a little test here. We're going to quiz each other on these movie quotes.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
All right, well, let's see who does better here in the movie quote test here, okay? I'll go first, if you don't
mind. I have
to
keep score. Hold on. I'm getting a piece of paper.
Aim for the bushes.
Aim for the bushes.
Aim for the bushes.
Sandlot.
No, the other guys. When The Rock and Samuel Jackson are on the roof, you thinking what I'm thinking? Aim for the bushes, and they just jump.
All right.
This is already making me laugh. All right, you're up.
They call it a royale with cheese.
Nope. I'm blanking. What is it?
Nice. Pulp Fiction.
Ah, dang it.
Clayton.
Well, we're waiting.
Oh, man, yours are very random. Mine are like classic
ones.
That
is not random. That is Caddyshack.
Okay. I'll have what she's having.
That's in so many. Come on, that's just a phrase. That could be in any movie.
But it's poignant in the movie. Do you know what it is?
No.
When Harry Met Sally.
I'm so mad at myself right now.
0 for both of us.
Talk to me, Goose.
Top Gun.
There you go. Woo! We're on the board.
No, it's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Dumb and Dumber.
There
come
you
on.
Go. That was a pity point.
I love Lamp.
Anchorman.
Yes.
Did Doogie Howser just steal my car?
Harold and Kumar, go to White Castle.
Nice.
You're not going to not get Randy Jackson's autograph. One of your favorite movies of all time. It's on the sword. So much room for activities. Do we just become best friends? There we go.
Sorry, that was also a pity point.
No worries.
Tied at 2. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yours are all like the rom-coms from back in the day that I didn't really
watch.
This
is not a rom-com. I can assure you of that.
What is it?
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of.
So romantic and hilarious.
Big Chief, the best.
Beef jerky, Big Chief.
You already said this one, by the way.
Oh, did I?
Sandlot.
Okay.
Before they take a dip and go on the amusement ride. Oh,
are you giving
one.
Me that point or not?
Yeah, why not?
Sweet.
Do you have any more?
Yep. I'm about to do to you what Limp Bizkit did to music in the late 90s.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I know it. Tip of my tongue. What is it?
Deadpool.
Yeah. Last one here. Did you get the memo?
Office Space.
Yes.
Proud. Do you want to try and redeem yourself a little bit with one last one?
Well, redeem yourself, Dumb and Dumber.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Oh. Naked Gun.
Close.
What?
Airplane.
Well, the same actor. It's fine.
By the way, I won 4-3. Do you want to just maybe do another quick round to see if you can actually redeem yourself?
Let's do it.
Okay.
You go first here.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
I want to say Wizard of Oz.
You are correct.
Woo!
There you go.
Here's one for you. Those aren't pillows.
Those aren't pillows. I don't know.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Steve Martin, John Candy, Spooing.
Yes.
Those aren't pillows. You're up.
What was my other one? You Complete Me.
Well, technically, it's on Night at the Roxbury because Doug and Steve Buttabe spoof this scene after Steve's wedding.
Right. But so, what is it from originally?
You know what? Technically, it counts. So I'm going to give myself the point.
You cannot.
Yes, I can. It's so popular.
Show me the money. Jerry Maguire.
So mad at myself. I'm the Great Bambino. In the movie, it said like this. I'm a Great Bambino.
Godfather?
No, Sandlot.
Okay. Quit using the Sandlot.
You know what? It's a great movie. I'll use it as much as I want to, okay? All right, here's another one for you. You put the mallow on the cracker.
Put the mallow on the cracker. No dice.
That's a Sandlot again.
Okay, that's...
okay, done messing with you, okay? One more. Forever.
Is it the Sandlot?
It's the Sandlot! Yay! Lots of chatter about unpaid internships on Twitter, on Facebook, basically all over the internet the last couple days. This NFL Network reporter, her name is Jane Slater. She went to Twitter asking for an unpaid intern. She's like, hey, I got this available opening, unpaid intern, send me a message if you want it. And a lot of people reacted not so kindly to that tweet.
Oh, boy.
Someone reacting to a tweet in an irrational way.
What?
Never thought I'd see the day. But they were just calling her out saying, like, how dare you not pay your interns? You got to pay your dues and get your foot in the door. Now, we're talking about internships that are like 8 to 10 hours a week. You go in 2 or 3 times a week. You spend 2 or 3 hours there with someone. You learn some things.
Yeah.
That's what an internship is in my head, right?
The definition of an internship, according to the internet, is the position of a student or trainee who works in an organization, sometimes without pay, in order to gain work experience or satisfy requirements of qualification.
See, you're not going to get out of college and become a CEO unless you start your own business. You got to pay your dues and start at the bottom and work your way up. And it's a great way, unpaid internships, to get your foot in the door. That being said, internships have changed. There are some full-time internships out there, 40 hours a week, and they don't pay you. Because it's an internship, and they're like, no, we don't have to pay interns, whatever. We're doing you a favor.
But that's somebody basically giving up the opportunity to get a job for 40 hours a week that pays them.
Exactly.
And doing it for nothing. So, like, I can see paying an intern maybe a little bit less.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, if they are working for you for 40 hours a week for a year,
doing some like not so fun jobs,
that's ridiculous. You absolutely need to pay them.
Like, there's a difference between paying your dues and being exploited.
Yes.
There's a huge difference between that. I'm a huge believer. Everyone has to pay their dues. Everyone has to start at the bottom. Like, my first radio gig was on AM radio, midnight to 6 a.m., playing polka music. It was my first gig.
Aww.
Giving away prizes to like the Esterhazy Snow Globe convention. But it was so fun. It's your first gig. You got your foot in the door. You're so excited to be there. It's just not so fun when people take advantage of the internships.
Well, exactly. You need to be valued and paid accordingly. And again, maybe it's not like a full wage, but still, like, be nice.
That's just a rule in general.
It is.
Be nice. Every long-term relationship or every marriage has some of those long-term insignificant issues or disagreements, arguments, fights, whatever you want to call them. You have a couple, you and your husband, Sean, like the long-term fights that go on for years and years.
Well, this wasn't necessarily a fight, but like you said, it can just be an issue, like a thing. I hate when a shower curtain's open.
Okay.
I don't like seeing everything in the shower. I don't know why. It's stupid, but it's a thing. And so when we first started living together, you know, when he'd have a shower, I'd be like, hey, can you just like close the curtain when you're done? Because it just hides all the junky shampoo bottles and sponges or whatever you got in
there. Your bathtub shame, yeah.
Basically. And yet now we have like a very nice shower with beautiful tile, but I'm still like, close it!
Spent $2,000 on that.
I know.
Never see it.
Don't want to see those nice tiles. But now he closes the curtain.
So you won one of those long-term
issues.
I sure
did. It's pretty satisfying, I'm not gonna lie.
Like, because for 3, 4, sometimes even like 10 years in some marriages, you go back and forth and they're insignificant. Like, it's not gonna make you a divorce or anything like that.
Oh, God, no.
But it's just one of those things where you go back and forth on it and neither of you
wants to budge.
Give an inch. You're like, no. It's my way or the highway. I recently lost one of these long-term issues.
No, I'm
and
so sorry.
It's the worst. My wife and I are like every TV sitcom in the 90s. One of us is messy. One of us is clean. And when you put them together, oh boy, wacky. She is like the messiest person. I'm pretty clean.
Yeah.
I used to think before I moved in with a girl that girls were just generally clean. No, that is not the case. Girls can be messy.
Girls can be. Some girls can be very clean.
My wife, Brenly, a lot of clothes, and she likes to leave her clothes all over the house. Recently, though, she overtook our guest bedroom, or as I like to call it, Brenly's shame room. So she'll just put all of her dirty laundry or unfolded laundry, whatever, in that room. It's just basically a room with a desk and a bunch of clothes on the ground.
Okay.
Just like you with the shower curtain, I have to close that door. I can't even look in there.
Yes, out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. But then our dog Kipper started to sleep in there because she loves sleeping on clothes. And since the door is usually closed, it was open the other day. Kipper goes in there. All these clothes that smell like my mom.
So comfy.
So she loves sleeping in there now. So now Brenly is like, well, since the dog loves my clothes on the ground, guess I won that battle, right? Guess I get to leave them in there now.
Oh, no.
So one entire room in my house is just drives me banana sandwich.
Couldn't you just get take a few clothes and lay them in the living room, like one sweater?
No, Kipper's high maintenance. She needs at least 50 clothes on the ground.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, she's one of those dogs. I know lots of people have been a little ticked off about the amount of snow that Saskatoon has seen this year. Of course, we got the big dumping in November, and after that, it's been very consistent. Every couple weeks, we get a new snowfall. For most people, it means, shoveling, the roads. But for dog owners, it means, yes, I don't have to look at all the dog poop in my backyard anymore.
It's
because
like a blanket.
The snow covered it all. Out of sight, out of mind. I'm all good. The snow has been melting as of late, though.
Yeah.
And all that dog poop is starting to come to the surface. And in my backyard, let me tell you, like, you don't think it would make a difference. But I see my backyard when I walk to my front door every time, and it looks so bad.
It's just littered.
Little poop grenades everywhere in the backyard.
Yeah.
It's just white and brown all over. And it's like, you got to get to it eventually. But every dog owner always puts it off until it's too late.
And it's too late when you step in it, you smell it, you see it, and you're like, you know what? I probably should have taken care of this sooner.
When all the snow melts and so does the poop and it just turns into one. Oh, I don't even want to talk about this.
It's called poop soup. I don't want to be that girl, but I do feel like saying if you just pick it up when they poop, you don't have this problem.
When it's minus 45 outside, though, and your dog likes to poop all the way at the end of the backyard.
Hey, if your dog can go out in that weather and take a poop, you can go and pick it up.
My dog has a sweater attached to its skin, okay? It likes
the cold.
You've
got a jacket in the closet with mitts and a
toque. Yeah, but I have to zip it up, and that takes, I'm just kidding, obviously.
Because we did. We had a dog for a while, and our yard, at the time, it wasn't fenced, and so we had to go out with her because we didn't want her to, like, take off. So we had to go out with her, pick up her poop, and it's like common sense, right? If you pick it up at the time, you don't have to deal with this later, but I can understand completely the ease of just, like, letting them out, take your poop, come on back inside.
Well, we're good with it for the first couple of weeks of winter, because it's like, okay, yeah, we don't want it all to build up. But then when you let it sit for a couple of days, you get a little lazy, you're like, whatever. What's a few more poops out there, right?
It's a poopy slope.
Exactly.
You know?
We're so immature. A lot of chatter lately about those three core neighborhood schools being turned into one super school,
if you will.
They're not going to be like moving the schools like physically and combining them.
No.
They're going to turn those schools. We're talking about King George, Pleasant Hill, and Princess Alexandria schools. Those are going to be turned into something else, like community centers.
Well, they haven't said yet.
Hopefully they do. Like, fingers crossed.
And that's the big thing, is everyone's like, okay, fine, you're making an amalgamated school. That's great, whatever. Mm-hmm. But those three schools, two of them are considered castle schools. Everybody in those neighborhoods is like, please just don't tear them down. Keep the schools around, restore them, renovate them, do something. They just really want to see those schools stick around.
Now, the cost of renovating those schools to continue to be schools was way too much.
Yeah.
It's way too high. The cost of making a new school to replace these three schools is cheaper than renovating the existing schools.
Yeah.
So right now with the pandemic, saving money is kind of priority number one.
But then at the same time, if you think of it, if they're too expensive to renovate to be a school, are they going to be too expensive to renovate and fix up and be a proper leisure center, let's say?
I think those renovations might be less than school renovations. Like, maybe you don't have to go all out like you would for a school. Maybe you just have to kind of put a fresh coat of paint on it, you know?
Something like that.
Just make it look okay, right? Because I think the Buena Vista neighborhood did it with their old castle-esque school. It's like a community center, right? It's like you can, like, some classes are available there, stuff like that.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And then the one on the corner of
the one we always
Clarence.
Forget, yes.
And I just looked it up a couple times.
I know. There are so many in Saskatoon, these
Regardless.
Beautiful old
yeah.
schools. And like the amount it cost to build, by the way, 1912, King George School, $156,000.
That's insane.
Now, we calculated the inflation, because obviously things in 1910 don't cost the same as they do now. $3.5 million is what it would cost to build now.
Which is nuts, because they basically said building those three schools is going to cost like $29 million.
Mm-hmm.
Or
no.
Not the three schools, the super school.
Yeah. Remember 3 weeks ago when we talked about the old Hepburn College and how it was up for sale,
mm-hmm.
and how I have always wanted to buy a school in a small town, convert it into a house, like where I can live?
Right.
What should we do with these old schools?
Well, you're going to buy one?
What are some outside-the-box ideas? I don't think I could buy and live in King George School. It's too creepy.
It's too many square feet.
Yeah.
I think one of the three schools or whatever, turn it into a really sweet hotel, like a boutique hotel or an Airbnb facility, that sort of thing.
Great idea.
I think that would be neat.
Do you have some outside-the-box ideas for the castle schools, the older schools in the core neighborhoods? Let us know. 306-938-0963. I think we can all agree, though, just don't tear them down.
Yes.
Don't tear them down. They are way too beautiful.
The city had on its payroll an architect. David Webster was the official public school board architect from 1911 to 1914 and designed a bunch of those big, there was 10 of them in the early 1900s mm-hmm. that were built in that old school style. Old school. And some of the really interesting things about them, I'm sorry, but it's right there. I had to. They built the schools based on a bit of a British tradition to have that, what they call a turret top,
yeah.
where it looks like a castle. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. And in Pleasant Hill School, what I thought was so interesting is that they actually designed it to have a janitor's quarters, like a caretaker's suite, because they figured the school needed to be taken care of 24 hours a day and the janitor needed to live there. So it's got an apartment in the school for a janitor.
Oh, that'd be so cool to live there.
If you were... I feel like you can't really have like a family and live in a school. That'd be weird. Because imagine if you were a kid and you went to that school and you lived in that school. That's the worst.
Going home for lunch. Super easy.
I guess.
Why are you late for class, Jimmy? Yeah. I went home for lunch, Miss Thiessen. I'm so sorry. You live here, Jimmy. Come on. Today on the show, we learned that the city of Saskatoon has a little bit of a long-term traffic cone problem. We started talking about the one cone in downtown Saskatoon. If you're one of those people that doesn't really come to downtown, you've never seen this, but if you frequent downtown, there's a good chance that whenever you're driving northbound on 1st Avenue,
between 23rd and 24th,
right by the CTV and the Capitol right there, there has been a traffic cone on a manhole cover there for at least 18 months.
For minimum 18 months.
Minimum 18 months. And
yeah.
we actually got a source for that. CTV's own and the sexiest voice in Saskatoon, Jeremy Dodge. He confirmed that. He was mm-hmm. like, yeah, our camera guy called about it because driving out of the CTV parking lot, they always hit that manhole cover. It comes off. And that was like 2 years ago they made that call. So it's been sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in the lane. So you kind of have to do a quick shoulder check and swerve a little bit because it's two lanes there.
And
it's not a big hassle, but still.
But also, how has it not been fixed? Because I don't, is it loose? Does it need to be lowered? Like, is it too high that it's too much of a bump for people to get over? I don't know.
And that's not the point of this conversation. We're not trying to shame the city here at all. It's the opposite. We're trying to celebrate this traffic cone. Like, I want to make this into a tourism attraction. Welcome to Saskatoon, home of the longest serving traffic cone in North America.
Okay.
Turns out, it's not just the one on First Avenue, Stacey.
No, there's more.
There are a few other long-term traffic cones out there that may have been there longer for 2 years. Apparently, there's one on Sask Crescent, according to Perry on our Facebook page.
Okay.
He didn't say where on Sask Crescent.
It's a big street.
It's somewhere on there. Very, very big streets. There is one on Ruth Street, according to Trish. Again, Ruth's a pretty big street, Trish. You got to give us some more details
here. That is true, yeah.
But there is one that a lot of people are talking about. There's the one that is kind of, it's in Stonebridge, right?
Yeah.
Stonebridge Boulevard, yeah.
Oh, geez, are we talking Clarence and Melville?
Yeah, Clarence and Melville. So in that neighborhood.
You're turning left from Clarence onto Stonebridge Boulevard, but it's plunked there by the Co-op and the Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it's just, it's something's been broken up underneath, and it looks dangerous, actually. I don't know what's going on.
It's been there forever. People in the comments are like, man, people hit it all the time. Some people live right by that traffic cone, and they're like, yeah, trucks hit it all the time. Like, it's impossible not to hit. And that's been there for, like, they say 2 years now.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, Saskatoon, land of the living skies, land of traffic cones being on streets for 2 years. Go us. I'm kind of proud of us. Like, not proud's the wrong word, but I like when we got weird things going on for our city.
Well, and everybody can relate to them too, because, you know, they're all over the city, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Well, five of them, but still.
Stacey and Clayton, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Cruise.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.